Hello, and thank you again for a call to the Daily Inspiration Line. We want to give you a short inspiration today out of the book of 1 Peter. And I'd like you to go to chapter 1 with me. And let's look at verse 13. 1:13 of 1 Peter. This is kind of some exhortations that God gave Peter to give the believers in view of the fullness of salvation. And there's some commandments here for Christians in their daily life. So let's see if we can't get a hold of some of this today and get some mileage out of it that we could give God honor and give God glory. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he said, so gird up. You know, in the old days when the men would run, they would take their garments and they would girdle them around them and wrap them so that their garments wouldn't flap and fly, so they could make a dash and you know, they could get to work or whatever. That's the way they did it. But he's referring to girding up the loins of our mind. Like, let's cinch things up. Let's tighten things up. Let's bring everything together. Let's make preparation to get something done here in some taste and in some order and in some purpose. So, and he says, one way you gird up the loins of your mind is to be sober. That's a commandment in the New Testament. Being sober. You know, there's some that are drunk and there are some that are sober. There are some that are of a foolish lightheartedness and mindset, and there are others that are sober-minded. They're serious-minded. That's what sober would be. And we need to be of that serious mindset, have our speech sober, have our lifestyle sober, not indulgent. And then he says, to hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus returns, he will be full of grace for his children, and he will be full of wrath for the others. Then he goes on in verse 14, teaching us how to gird up the loins of our mind. As obedient children, you know, I was just with some of my grandchildren recently, and there's nothing sweeter than little children. They're beautiful, their voices, their energy, their smiles. But what makes them even more beautiful is when they're obedient, when they come when they're called, when they stop doing something you feel is dangerous. When they're decent and orderly and obedient, you know, it's nothing like it. And God wants the same as we are his children, as obedient children. Not fashioning our yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You know, when you look at people in the world, they're all following something. There's very, very, very few, if any, people that came up with something on their own. You're no doubt dressing like someone that influenced you and instructed you. Your slogans and speech and things you say, they are copycat stuff. Rarely, rarely, rarely does anybody come up with anything new. And so we've got to be careful that we are not acting like sinners, the way we used to act or the way sinners do act. We walked in blindness and ignorance, and now we are girding up the loins of our mind with purpose. We are doing or not doing things to please God. Verse 15 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. You know, the world and its falsehood just cannot duplicate holiness. Nobody really understands it. All the pagan gods of the former worlds and societies, they never had a God that was pure and holy and separate. Their gods made them do filthy and sensual things to please him, killing children and sacrificing maidens and horrible things and lewd acts and filthy things. But God says, I'm holy. Why don't you be holy in all manner of conversation? Every word I speak, everything I say. Nothing worse than being around a filthy mouth person, especially when they profess Christ. What a shame to be known as a person that knows Jesus. And they're not holy in their word, in their actions, in their dress. I'll never forget one time I was appalled. I met a group of Amish men one time when I was not in the Anabaptist world. I was marveling when I met them, and they all had their plain clothing on, and they were all smoking like chimneys. They were puffing, and I expected these people to be godly, Bible-loving, Jesus-loving people. And they were smoking like chimneys. And, you know, I rebuked them and said, I can't believe y'all. And they said, well, we grow it. We can smoke it. And I was like, you know, I don't think I'd grow something that was unholy. And I don't think I'd smoke it either. So I was disappointed in their conversation, their manner of life. And it's a stumbling block to many. You know, I know the Bible doesn't say you shouldn't, it doesn't say thou shalt not smoke, but it says be holy. And it says don't follow after the world's ways and the former lust and the addicting things of the world, the filthy things of the world. God help us. And then it says, and if you call on the Father, who without respect to persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time you're sojourning here in fear. You know, God is going to judge. He's going to judge every man. And he's impartial. He's perfect. He's not comparing you against another person. He's given you his word. He's given you his grace. He's given you his power, if you'll take it. And we need to remember that. And he says to pass the time of your sojourning, a temporary life on planet Earth, should be lived in the sight of God. Life was not lived, made to be lived without God. We must remember that God hears. We share our thought life with God. We are going to stand before and give an account for every idle word. Man thinks his technology and all his phones and his GPSs and blah, blah stuff he's got. Well, God's already stated he's going to judge every idle word that men speak, and there's been a lot of those spoken. So may the grace of God be with you as you are seeking God to be holy and to be like him, and you're girding up the loins of your mind being soaked.